Luke 10, and I will read from verse 17, and then we will agree in prayers. Luke 10:17. It says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name." Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we lend our spirits to the spirit of a living God within us, that out through the vessel of our being, you pour forth your wisdom with mighty clarity. Father, we thank you for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of that spirit that you've so richly given to us in redemption. Our hearts are full of praise, thanksgiving, and gratitude this morning. And Father, we thank you because we receive the burden of ignorance dematerialized to your glory. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Glory to God. So in Luke chapter 10, in verse 17, it says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name." Look at what Jesus said in verse 18. "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And then I'm going to skip verse 19 because you know it. And I'm going to go to verse 20. It says, "Notwithstanding, in these rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you." So Jesus is setting the tone for how we rejoice. And in setting the tone for how we rejoice, the first thing he says is, what do we rejoice about? What do we rejoice about? It says, "In these rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." So why do we rejoice? We don't rejoice because demons or devils are subject to us. We don't rejoice because we can put a stop to demonic activities. I'm not the one that said it. Jesus said it. Only Jesus can say those kind of things. So we don't rejoice because we put an end to demonic activities. He says you don't rejoice about that. You rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So we rejoice. When he says your name are written in heaven, it means the work of God. That is the new covenant written in your heart. Okay? The new covenant written in your heart. So if you read Hebrews 8, Hebrews 12, that discusses that. We examined that last Sunday. He said we rejoice because our names are written in heaven. So Jesus is teaching the disciples how to rejoice. And it starts from, this is what not to rejoice about. So it means that in rejoicing, when we gather, when you are on your own and you want to rejoice, you don't rejoice because of happenings in the natural. You don't rejoice because of your circumstances. You rejoice because of the work of God. Your names are written in heaven. You rejoice because of what God has done. Because of what God has done. So he says, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And look at what happens in the next verse. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit. The word rejoice there, agaleo, is from the Greek word, two Greek words really. One is agaleo, two Greek words. One means again and again. Again and again. And the other one means to spring forth, to spring up. So to rejoice or agaleo will mean to spring up, to spring forth, again and again. To erupt again and again. So the Bible says, in that hour, Jesus himself rejoiced in the spirit. Why is Jesus rejoicing in the spirit? Because he had taught the disciples why not to rejoice. Because if you are paying attention, something happened Okay? And then the disciples are reacting. So it means if that stuff does not happen, they will not rejoice. So Jesus corrects them and says, rejoice not because of that. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And in that same hour, Jesus himself then rejoiced in the spirit. That is, Jesus sets an example of what it means to rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Are you with me? So in that same hour, Jesus himself rejoiced in the spirit. So, how did he rejoice? He sprang up. He sprang up. He erupted again and again. So if you were in that service that day, you'd have seen Jesus do something like this. Yeah. He rejoiced in the spirit. He showed the disciples both in teaching and in practice. He rejoiced in the spirit. He corrected them how not to rejoice. So you are going to find out that in learning how to rejoice, one of the most important teaching or the most important understanding is, what do we rejoice about? Because what you rejoice about is as important as your rejoicing. Are you with me? If you hold your hand in Luke 10 and you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, look at what it says in verse 8. 1 Peter 1, verse 8. It says, whom having not seen, ye love. So Peter is describing certain people, people who have believed. He said, they have not seen Jesus, like face to face. He says, but you love. He says, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you do what? You rejoice with joy unspeakable. So the joy that these people are rejoicing in, is it in something that they can see around them, or something that is happening within them? It has to be something that is happening within them. They are rejoicing, not because of what they can see, but because of what they believe, which is the work of God. So he says, you have not seen him, okay, but you love. He then says, though you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. So, look at what he's describing. He's describing joy unspeakable. He says, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. What are they rejoicing about? Not in something physical. They are rejoicing in the Lord. Their rejoicing is in the Lord. So, he says, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. You rejoice with joy unspeakable. People are already rejoicing. It says, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What are you rejoicing in? The one in whom you believe. This is vital. I said last week that when you read the scriptures, you are going to find out that the Bible is emphatic. Very, 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 very emphatic on why we rejoice or what we rejoice about. Very emphatic, very clear. It's almost like everywhere you go in the scriptures where they talk about joy, they tell you not to rejoice in physical things. They tell you to rejoice in the Lord. They tell you to rejoice in the work of God. They tell you to rejoice in what the Lord has done. Very, very, very emphatic. If you go to Psalms, you go to Isaiah, you go to this one we are reading, 1 Peter, everywhere. Jesus himself described that to his disciples. Are you with me? Glory to God. If you hold your hand, in fact, let's examine. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. Matthew 5, and you read verse 11. Matthew 5:11. It says, blessed are ye. Is that word pronounced blessed or blessed? It depends. It depends on which church you grew up in. It says, blessed are ye. Blessed. Okay. Because you know now. You know where I come from. So I have to bear witness. Blessed are ye when is you people that grew up in all this. Let me move on. Some of us grew up in Grace Place. I mean, you see it. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Falsely. There's no blessing when people are saying things about you that is correct. Okay? If people say, in fact, when it says, say all manner of evil, it really means when they lie against you falsely. And it then says, for my sake. What is the blessedness? It says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. That word exceeding glad is that same word we are considering, agalio, to spring up again and again. So when you are persecuted for his name's sake, there's a blessedness in that. And the blessedness is that you rejoice and be glad. So if you think of that kind of scenario, you are in the middle of adversity. The sensible thing to do would be to react back at adversity. But Jesus says, rejoice and be glad. And when he says rejoice and be glad, be exceeding glad, it means to agalio. So you go out on outreach and somebody, I remember going out on outreach, I've shared this before, and the guy said, I was very young, the guy said, go back and meet your pastor. Let him teach you how to preach because you don't know how to preach. I almost went home in tears. Jesus says, in that kind of scenario, you rejoice and you are glad. So on my way, what I should have done is agalio. Glory! Yeah. Or you go out on outreach and they just give you one dirty slap. Jesus says, don't fight back. By the way, don't turn the other side. When Jesus was teaching that if they slap you on one side, turn the other side, it didn't mean you should turn the other side of your cheek. The other side is, so what is the first side? The wickedness of man. What is the other side? Your own love towards them. So when Jesus says, turn the other side, he's saying, don't react back because of what has been done to you. That's the other side. Don't go and foolishly turn the other side of your cheek for another slap. Jesus didn't ask you to do that. Rather, walk away in peace. Walk away. Somebody slapped you and you still want to continue preaching to the person. Just walk away. There'll be another time when the person is less aggressive and you'll be able to preach. When you go out to preach and you find aggressive people, you don't have to force it. If you find that people are aggressive, walk away. There'll be another time when they'll be less aggressive and they'll get saved. Case in point, Paul. It's not every time you meet Paul that you want to preach to him. Hallelujah. But what got us there? We are saying if you are slapped on outreach, Jesus says on your way back home, you know, you should rejoice. Your reaction should not match your physical circumstance. That's what he's saying. Your reaction in the midst of adversity should not match the circumstance surrounding you. You should react from an eternal perspective that your names are written in heaven. So when you are slapped, what that slap should bring to your mind is my name is written in heaven. So rejoicing is a response independent of circumstances. When you look at a believer rejoicing, you should not be able to link the believer's joy with present circumstances. You shouldn't be able to link the believer's joy. You should look around and not be able to find why the guy is rejoicing. You should look at the person's physical circumstance and not be able to find out why the person is rejoicing. Because we rejoice for the work of God, that which he has done in us. Are you following? If you hold your hand there, let's see, there's this other scripture in Habakkuk. Before you go to Habakkuk, let's read Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 51, Isaiah 51 verse 11, it says, therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And what will happen? Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. So when we return, so what is particular about the redeemed? The redeemed always has joy. The redeemed has everlasting joy upon his head. So there is no time that the believer, there's nothing like something stole my joy. Nothing can steal your joy. And I'm not even kidding. Nothing can steal your joy. Nothing can steal the joy of the believer. The believer already has everlasting joy upon him. Are you with me? The believer has everlasting joy upon him. The question is, will you rejoice or not? The question is never, do you have joy or not? You have joy. Are you with me? You have joy. It says, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. Okay, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. You have a joy that no man can take away. What men and circumstance really do is to take your attention off the joy that you have. So your attention is snatched away from joy. You then act as though you don't have it. But in reality, you do. So you keep your focus where it matters. You keep your focus on joy. Are you following? It says, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. The believer does not have sorrow. The believer does not have mourning. Mourning is actually signifies death. Mourning signifies death. That has been taken away in redemption. So the believer has no cause for sorrow or mourning. Are you with me? The believer, when you look at yourself, you should look for a reason to be sorrowful and not find. Are you following? It says, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. So you don't have sorrow, you don't have mourning. What do you have? Everlasting joy. everlasting joy. You know, I said this 2 weeks ago, I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again, that all by yourself, you should be able to sit all by yourself and laugh yourself into supernatural joy. You should just laugh yourself as an expression of joy. You should be able to be all by yourself and just rejoice and agalio. I was telling you about a guy, Smith Wigglesworth. The guy doesn't, when he wakes up, he doesn't walk out of the bed. He jumps out. The guy will say, if the spirit doesn't move me, I move the spirit. What is the spirit that is not moving you? We said, you already have everlasting joy. You already have everlasting joy. So, it says, because you have everlasting joy, we look for sorrow, and it is error 404, found not found. We look for mourning, and it is error 404, found not found. Or 504, gateway, whatever. Sorrow and mourning not found. What is found? Joy. Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. I don't know. But I know who you are. Yes, I know who you are. You are full of joy. You are full of joy. So I will relate with you based on who you are. Yes. I'll remind you, you are full of joy. There's nothing like, you know, like Jerry was saying in the morning. There's nothing like melancholy. You know, I think I've read something that Paul, somebody said Paul was choleric or something. How can you see Paul, spirit-filled man, and say he was choleric? No, guys, we are joyful people. We are joyful people. We are joyful people. We are not melancholy, choleric, sanguine. And what's the last one? Don't say it. Keep it. We are spirit-filled people. And in the spirit, we have joy. Supernatural joy. Keep it going. Keep it going. Let me tell you what just happened. We just unleashed who we are. We just unleashed who we are. We are a joyful people, guys. You know that 100% joyful, that when your bio, you write 100%. It's not a joke, oh. You are really 100% joyful. Spirit filled, full of joy. Full of joy. Full of joy. No sorrow found in me, no sorrow found around me. You know, when sorrow comes around me, I drown sorrow. Like, people that don't have the joy that you have, when they, you know, sorrow can be infectious. When you go into a house of mourning and you see them mourning, you are not going to start dancing. It's the same way when we enter into a place, we enter with joy. And when joy enters, it just looks for sorrow and begins to dematerialize it. Dematerialize it. So people talk to you and then they just find out that they are happy. They just find out that all of their burdens are gone. Because somebody without a care, without a care, without a care in this world entered the building. Glory! Woo! Have your seats. Have your seats. If I yield to you people, I won't finish my teaching this one. Whoo! Glory to God. 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 You know, you'll be able to put the pieces together from now on. The things that are scattered here and there, here and there. The light of God will now guide your path. And you'll be able to fit the pieces together. All those things that are scattered in your mind and you don't know how to go about it. By God's Spirit, you'll be able to bring them together now. You'll be able to bring them together now. You'll be able to bring them together now. For there's light, a greater intensity of light upon your path. A greater intensity of light upon your path to be able to bring things together. To be able to put things together. Those things that have been scattered, that you have not been able to fit together, those pieces of puzzle, you now bring it together and you will see the clearer picture and your heart will be full of joy. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, go back to those prophecies. Those things that were said to you about recognizing, demonstrating, interpreting the move of the Spirit in the local assembly. Go back over those words and internalize them. Meditate upon them and pray much over them. For there's work to be done. For there's much labor ahead. So, saturate your heart with the words that have been said. Pray over them, and wisdom, clarity, and guidance. Wisdom, clarity, and guidance will be made much more accessible to you. And you will know what to do. You will know how to go about it. And many will be edified. Many will be blessed. Many will be taught these same things. And the glory of God in our midst will be mighty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jerry, where is Jerry? Come. Yeah, if you can rejoice very well, come and sit in front here. I need like 4 people. Just come and sit in front here. Sit here. No, in this. Yes. No, not just. You stand. You stand. Okay, good. Yes, come and join me. I like your zeal. Okay, after that's all. So, they are going to rejoice and you are going to walk past them. And God's healing power will flow through your legs, and those pains will be no more. Will be no more. What are you going to do? You're also going to rejoice. Yes, so let's go. Woo! Glory to God. Woo! Woo! Glory! 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 Woo! Glory to God! Glory to God! Ha 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 Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, if you are sick in your body, this is a healing line. You can just walk past and be healed. Nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be ashamed of. If you are sick in your body, just be on your feet and just walk past this line, and that is healing for you. Glory to God. Glory. Woo! Woo! Oh! Woo! Glory to God. Glory. Woo! Glory! 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 Woo! You can't just be looking. You can't just be looking. Woo! Glory! Never laughed before, there's a way to start. You just say ha ha ha. Woo! Glory! Glory! Woo! 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 Glory, 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 glory. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo. Woo. Ha 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 God. Woo! My God. If you can, have your seat. Woo! In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, we rejoice with joy unspeakable. I love what Brother Agin said. Brother Agin said, if you can't speak it, you can laugh it. If you can't speak it, you can run it. It is unspeakable, but you can express it in your laughter. You can express it in your agalio. But whatever you do, make sure you rejoice. Woo! Glory to God. Have your seat if you can. Praise God. Praise God forever. Praise God forever. Praise God forever. Praise God forever. In Psalms 126, it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. It says, then was our mouth filled with laughter. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. And our tongue with singing. Look at what it says. He says, because that is not a, see, it is not a natural thing to laugh when there is no joke. But no, there is a victory within. There's a victory within. There's a out of that victory, we can laugh for 6 hours nonstop. We don't need comedians to entertain us in church. We have joy. We have the real stuff, man. He said, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Look at what he said. Then the eating, said they among the eating. So the eating, they saw us laughing. They saw us laughing. They saw us singing. He says, and then they said, the Lord has done great things for them. Why do you think he said the Lord has done great things for them? Because they were rejoicing in the work of God. That which the Lord had done. I tell you, all by yourself, in the comfort of your room, you should be able to laugh. Because of what the Lord has done. All by yourself, you should be able to rejoice because of what the Lord has done. Because the redeemed already has everlasting joy. The redeemed already has everlasting joy. Joy that cannot be taken away from you. Let me tell you this. When you wake up and you don't feel happy, or let me say, there are times you wake up and you feel happy, excited. There are times you might wake up and you don't feel happy. That is not joy. The joy you have cannot be improved upon. It does not increase or reduce. So you are the one that will situate your mood all the time in that joy. I was saying last week about joy and happiness that when people talk about joy, they say joy is what we have in the spirit and then happiness is what we have because of happenings around us. No. We use joy to regulate our happiness. You should always be happy. Like always. 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 Always be happy. Where do you situate your happiness? In the everlasting joy that you have. I said God did not give us joy for us to then find happiness in the fact that you have an iPhone or you have some money in your account. No, he gave us joy to regulate our mood. So the believer is a house of joy. You know, you go to office, you have a hard time at work. And as you are stepping out of the gate, you just say, yeah. We have everlasting joy in God. We have joy unspeakable, full of glory. We rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice in what he has done. If you don't know how to go about it, I shared it in the first Sunday. You speak to yourself God's word. You remind yourself, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the house of God. I'm the house of God's glory. If anyone wants to see God on the earth, they need to come to me. I'm the house of, you say those things. You are not, where is it psyching yourself? It depends on how you describe it. But you are not saying what is not true about you. Those things that we just said now are the things that are true about us. I'm washed. I'm clean. I'm sanctified. I'm justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by his Spirit. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm the house of his joy. I'm the house of his glory. I'm the house of his power. And then you spring up and rejoice. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Hebrew word for rejoice is more interesting than the Greek. You know, Greek is agalio, to spring up again and again. The Hebrew word is to spin in a violent display of emotions. To spin, the Hebrew word is actually to when something is round, to just spin. Glory, glory. So when you see us doing something like this, we read it in scriptures. It's an understanding of God's word. You know, I said in the first meeting, I said there's a dance in the spirit. There's a dance in the spirit where you spring up, you spin, you just display the emotions of God. You display the emotions of God. Say, Pastor, but does, are we not behaving like we are mad? We are not. We are actually, we are in our right senses. In fact, we are sane, very sane. We are sane in God's word. We have supernatural sanity. You know, in the world, when somebody is laughing on their own, it's a sign of insanity. In God, that is supernatural sanity. Like, that is how it should be all the time. Hallelujah. Let's say together, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Glory. Glory. I said last week, it is not when I'm teaching alone that we practice this. When choir is singing, today we're singing, it is joy, 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 and we're using, it is joy. No, 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 no. I said, when you hear the sound of joy, you rejoice. When you hear the truth of the resurrection, you rejoice. When you hear a good word, your response should be joy. Hallelujah. It's the reason why I'm taking this series. Actually, in Grace Place, this is who we are. Like, this is our natural state. We're joyful people. You don't come into our midst and you are sorrowful. You shouldn't walk into our service with a burden and live with that burden. Our joy, our corporate joy, should dissolve your body. It should dissolve it. That is who we are. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
That is who we are. Glory to God. Let me get back to my teaching. These people that came to sit in front are dangerous people. Ushers should make them sit at the back. Hallelujah. Good stuff. If you turn your Bibles with me to Psalms, Psalms chapter 13. How do we express our joy? Psalms chapter 13. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why are we rejoicing without drums? There's a music within. The songs of deliverance, the songs of the resurrection, they play eternally within us. Yes. And we just latch onto that. 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 When you hear from within you that I'm sanctified, you just laugh. You just laugh. You hear within. When we say you hear within, who is saying what you are hearing? You now, based on what you've learned in God's word. Say, you say to yourself, I am a servant of God. And you just laugh. I've been bought. You say to yourself, I am valuable to God. And you just laugh. I'm accepted in the beloved. And you just laugh. Yes. There's an eternal music within that place. We dance to the tune of that music. We sing to the tune of that music. We laugh to that music. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 13. They are trying to set me up in this our grace place. You know, we ought to pray some more. I said that. We ought to pray some more. Take some time to pray some more. I said, whatever time you pray in a day, add 1 hour to it, and that 1 hour should be for grace, please. Let's pray some more. Let's generate some energy. 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 Praise God. Now, I'm in a million places. Psalms 13. This is the third time or fourth time I'm saying Psalms 13. Psalms 13, and let's see verse 5. Let's see verse 5. It says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. So where do we situate our joy? In the salvation of God. I told you to open to Habakkuk the other time. If you go to Habakkuk chapter 3, look at what it says in Habakkuk 3 and verse 17. It says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Look at what it says in verse 19. I will rejoice in the Lord. And what? I will joy in who? The God of my salvation. We can go from Genesis to Revelation, and you will find that they are very emphatic on why we rejoice. Very, very emphatic. And this is a very good emphasis. To know that you will not always be in the best of situation, but you don't find your joy in that. It is a bad place to start if your joy starts in your physical circumstance. You need to recalibrate and situate your joy in the God of your salvation. Look at what David said in Psalm 13. He says, I have trusted in thy mercy, and what? My heart will rejoice in your salvation. Where does the heart of David find joy? In the salvation of God. Where does my heart find joy? In the salvation of God. Where does your heart find joy? In the salvation of God. Jesus said, in this rejoice not that the devils are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And Jesus rejoiced because of that. Go to Zephaniah. Zephaniah is four books before, just immediately after Habakkuk. Before Malachi, then. Zephaniah chapter 3. Look at what it says in verse 17. Zephaniah 3, verse 17. Esitho aris kash gon velaxe sama. Vregite suzuvo aradixto borjandes kathani. Elegikonose, elegikonose, elegiston bravexe sashomongala stanthanimiha. Reavoses, reavoses, reavoses avalangalus son sefashano vango vansto vatse. The word of God knocks on the door of your heart. And it tells you to situate your joy in God. It tells you to situate your joy in the God of your salvation. Open the door of your heart and let that word settle in. Let it be the base from which you operate. And you find out that those clouds of darkness that come and go from time to time will be no more. For your heart will find rest, confidence, and assurance in that which the Lord has done. Your mouth will break forth with singing. Your mouth will break forth with singing, and your tongue with laughter. And your heart will rejoice in the work of God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said at the Bible seminar, I said, when you wake up with a song, let me say it this way. Don't make it a practice to always pick up your phone when you wake up in the morning. Don't let your phone be the first thing you pick up when you wake up in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, look within. Many of us wake up with songs, but when we pick up our phones, we just lower the rhythm, the volume of what God is doing within us. Now, my mind is in 1 million places. Remember last week we said, with joy you will draw water out of the wells of salvation. When you in joy, you know, the supernatural breaks forth. Some of us, the leading we need for the day, the direction we need to go for the day, will come stronger as we follow the leading of joy, because we are actually led by joy. When you wake up with a song, don't pick up your phone to Instagram, WhatsApp, email. No, no. When you wake up with a song, sing it again and again, again and again, again and again, again and again. When you wake up with a scripture in your heart, take your Bible, open it, read it, say it out loud to yourself. When you wake up with a perception in God, follow through. But I'm specifically talking about waking up with a song. When you wake up with a song, sing. Singing, I hope you know that when we say we have choir in church, it is to help us coordinate our singing. Singing is not their job. Singing is not the job of choir. Singing is for all of us. They just help us coordinate the singing. So you can't say, I'm not a singing person. No. You are a singing. See, let me tell you who you are. You are a joyful person, and that means you are a rejoicing person. It means you are a laughing person. It means you are a singing person. It means you are a speaking person. I am telling you who you are. You should say thank you. But don't. Praise God. So when you wake up with a song, sing. Don't say, I'm not a singing person. When you wake up with a song, sing. 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 Because as you sing, other things in God come to your consciousness. Hallelujah. We have the victory of God. We have the victory of God within us. We have the victory of God. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He has brought us out of shame. He has brought us out of mourning. There's no mourning in our camp. Because he has redeemed us from death. He has filled our mouth with joy. I was in Zephaniah. Thank you. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, the Lord God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. So what? This is God rejoicing. God himself rejoices. What does he rejoice over? Over his work. He rejoices over you. God sees you and he rejoices. He will rejoice over you with singing. He will rest in his love. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. You know, I told you that word rejoice here that describes how God rejoices is that word thee. It means to spin. To spin in a violent display of emotion. So the time to rejoice is not the time to package. No, there's no packaging. If God, how do we know that God rejoiced? Jesus rejoiced. Jesus rejoiced. You know, when Jesus said to the Pharisees, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my days. He saw it and rejoiced. That word rejoice is agalio. Even Abraham rejoiced. I told you last week, I said rejoicing is not a youth thing. When Abraham saw the vision of what was to come, he was not 25. He was already advanced. And the Bible, Jesus, I said there are things that only Jesus can say. Jesus said, Abraham agaliot. Old man. 50 years from now, we'll still be rejoicing. Yes. We'll come with our children. They'll rejoice. Glory. And when our backs are bent like this, we'll still rejoice. Glory. Yes. We have too much example. We have Abraham. God rejoiced over us. So God situates his joy in that which he has done in us. So we also, following his example, situate our joy in what he has done. We rejoice in him. We rejoice in what he has done. That is the joy that no man can take away from you. If you rejoice in cash, one Emefiele will rise up one day. And over all over the country, you just find out that there's no cash. And you just be angry. You know, this should be out of, cut this away from the tape. The way the country is hot right now, if you don't have light, and then there's no light, you can be seated inside it and you're wondering, what is going on in this life? Rejoice. Rejoice. I'm saying, don't situate your joy in anything natural. Don't. It always leads to breakfast. Always. Don't situate your joy in the God of your salvation. Let what God has done be so important to you that it causes you to laugh. Let what God has done be so important to you that it causes you to rejoice. And we are saying it is not a one-time thing. It should follow you every day, every time, all the time. You are a 24/7 joy center. Yes! Yes. Right, 24/7 joy center. We rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Full of glory. Full of glory. Hallelujah. You know, there should be more people coming around us with sorrow and sadness of heart and living with joy. By just talking to you. You are not even talking Bible. By just talking. Paseko is in Canada. He was teaching early this morning. And he said something. He said, if a sick person comes around me, I don't have authority over that person. But I have authority over the sickness. And I can take authority over the sickness. And the person will be healed. I'm like, that makes sense. When sad and sorrowful people come around us, we can take authority over that cloud of sorrow. And you don't even have to make it spectacular. By just speaking with you, you are not even talking Bible. But there's something supernatural that is flowing. There's an atmosphere that you carry that will just drown sadness. That is who we are. This one is not for special people. Like, if you are in this grace place, that's our trademark. We carry joy everywhere. We dispense it. It's not a church thing. Like, it's not when we gather, you know, when we come, everybody, because pastor will say rejoice, everybody comes laughing, and then when you're on your way out, you go. No. That is who we are. We are a joyful people in and out of church. People should be able to say about us, I've never seen you sad. Don't you have problem? Pastor was saying, some people look at him and say, don't worry, because he's in UK, he doesn't have problem. It's because we don't situate our joy in the... See, if we situate our joy in the things around us, some of us will be crying to church. But no. We rejoice in God. We rejoice in the God of our salvation. We rejoice in the God of our salvation. Glory to God. Oh, okay. I still have like 10 more minutes. But 10 more minutes is not even enough for me to finish my notes. Because let's go back to Psalms. I've not even explained what I want to explain from Psalms. Psalms 13. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. If I'm unable to read from Psalms 13, I'll need to move away from it. Psalms 13, verse 5. It says, but I have trusted in thy mercy, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. So where is the guy situating his joy? In the salvation of God. That is, that's which the mercy of God supplied. Look at what it says in verse 6. It now says, I will sing unto the Lord. So it means when you have joy in your heart, you can express your joy with singing. You can express your joy with singing. So you sing unto the Lord as an expression of joy. Look, if you hold your hand there and you go to Psalms 2. Psalms chapter 2. Look at what it says in verse 4. It said, he that is seated in the heavens shall laugh. And in Ephesians 2, it makes us know. So this is actually talking about God. But in Ephesians 2, it makes us know that we are seated together with him. So we laugh together with him. Laughing in church is not a strange thing. It should be strange when we gather and we do service for like 6 months or 3 months. And in fact, we gather, we do service for like 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and we have not laughed. It should be strange. It should be strange. It is not when we laugh that we are strange. It is when we don't laugh that we are strange. Are you with me? So he that is seated in heaven shall... Look at what it says in Psalms 126. It says, our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. So the same way we come and singing is not strange, when we come, laughing should not be strange. I was saying last week that, you know, the same way we say, welcome your neighbor to church, and you shake your neighbor, you can welcome your neighbor with a laughter. You just shake your neighbor and say, ha, 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 ha. And you people welcome yourself for like 2 minutes laughing. It should not be strange. It's not a strange thing. It is who we are. It is who we are. We are in Psalm 2. So he said, he that is seated in the heavens shall laugh. So we laugh as an expression of joy. When we have joy and rejoicing within us, we sing as an expression of joy. We laugh as an expression of joy. Turn to Luke. Let's see what the scriptures say in Luke 10. Luke 10 and verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced at Galio in the spirit. And what did he do as a result? He said, so we also speak as an expression of joy. We speak as an expression. So he said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. The Lord of the new creation. He says that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed it unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemeth good in thy sight. So, as an expression of joy, we speak. So many times when you are agalio and you run around, words should also come out of your mouth. If you see Luke chapter 1, Luke 1 and glory to God, verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and what? My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Who is she rejoicing in? God, my Savior. There's no way. You can't hide from this fact. It's all over. Littered everywhere. That we rejoice in salvation. That which the Lord has done. So, look at what happens. Oh, I'm supposed to be in Luke 1. Even the fan is rejoicing over my Bible. Luke 1. And verse 46, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. From henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. Psalms 126, the Lord has done great things for them, whereof they are glad. She said, And his mercy is on them that fear him from generations to generations. He has showed strength with his arm. All this that he's saying, what is it? It is verse 47, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. So our utterance was a result, an offshoot of the rejoicing that she rejoiced in the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. So how do we rejoice in the Lord? We rejoice with singing. We rejoice with laughing. We rejoice with agalio by jumping and springing. And we rejoice in our words. Hallelujah. Have you learned something this morning? Glory to God. Lift up your hands and say, glory to God. He has filled my mouth with singing. He has filled my tongue with laughter. Ha, ha, ha. Glory. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We give you praise and glory, dear Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.